Tonight is about each other. Tonight is about relentless football. And anything about to touch the football can get knocked out tonight. Let's do what we do best on three. One, two, three.
Welcome, Ravens Nation. Welcome to a brand new edition of The Call, where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. It is a podcast about your Super Bowl champion, Baltimore Ravens, and we're here week one. I'm Brando Cash. Follow me on Twitter. Thank you for listening to the show on iTunes or Stitcher or both, whatever you're up to. Joining me as always, we got my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Hey guys, and I promise we're going to do a whole show, not half a show this time.
Well, you know what? It seems to be that seems to be the reoccurring thing is just showing up for half a game, half a show, half of anything. But if there is one word I can use to describe last Thursday's game, I gotta say it's inexperience. Now, a lot of people are saying, what are you thinking about inexperience? Why are you saying this? We've got Joe Flacco, who's you know, our go-to guy. We've got all of these great guys. We got Terrell Suggs. These guys are not inexperienced. They've been playing the game for a long time. But we really saw how young this team was on Thursday, because the main thing that happened was we came out of there with two big injuries, and they were caused by rookies on the field for the Ravens. These guys, I think there's a lot of talent on this team, but just judging from last week's game, they need a lot of time to get better because they are very inexperienced right now.
Very. It all comes down to a collaborative team effort, whether it's veteran leadership or whether it's rookie play, whether it's 2 or 3 year guys. You're right. We have a lot of youth, and I like that, especially on the defensive side of the football where they're flying around. And obviously we have Aaron Millett and Marlon Brown starting, obviously, as rookies. So it's just, it's going to happen on its own. You know, it's the growth is going to be there. The chemistry is going to be there. Obviously, on defense, you gel. I would say you gel a little bit more quicker than you do offense. Obviously, offense with the plays and the timing and the routes, there's just a lot more in-depth stuff to do. So, I mean, apart from what we've seen, I think that progress is going to be there, and I think as each game goes on, these guys are going to step up and they're going to make big plays.
Yeah, I think there is a lot of talent here, but these guys just don't have the experience. And the big thing besides that experience, I mean, these guys did open up on the road, and it was against a team that they're still really ticked off. We talked about it last week. This is a very hostile environment the Ravens were walking into. The Ravens came into Denver. They were mere, you know, minutes away from, you know, going on in the playoffs, and the Ravens came in, had that mile-high miracle, and changed the game completely, and the Ravens were able to come out on top after you know, two overtimes. So this was a town, this was a team that had something to prove, and you had Peyton Manning, who you can't give anything to, because this guy will turn anything into a big play. But I think with these rookies, they were in their heads, they were having a rough time, and I think the crowd had a lot to do with it, because Denver just gave it to them, man. They were calling the Ravens on anything. This was a loud, raucous crowd, and I mean, just the environment. I mean, that you got to be prepared for that, because that's anything in the NFL. The fans are always going to be there to make sure you know what's going on in that game and know that you're not liked in this town if you're the away team.
Absolutely. I mean, it's called patience, guys. I mean, it's going to be a long season. It's only the first game. I didn't really go through a season prediction, but this is one of our losses I predicted. Obviously, my heart was with the win. Thought we could have done it, pulled it out, but it was just tough. And 7 touchdowns. I mean, you have to tip your hat off to the Peyton Manning. I mean, he's just a master, man. It's just, you give him anything, and he'll just make you look foolish. And what it came down to is the Ravens, again, you can't take away anything from this game. If you take anything away from this game, I should say, it's the Ravens played with them. They played 30 minutes of good football, and then just it looked bad. The key was 6 total yards in the third quarter. When your defense is on the field for 9-plus minutes out of 15, They're going to get gas, especially with Peyton Manning on the opposite side. It's going to look like a mess, and it did. So it's just better execution. Everybody said, well, Dallas Clark should have caught the touchdown. It doesn't matter because obviously the 4 points wouldn't help because if you give Peyton and his offense gifts, black punt on the goal line, a pick in their own territory. I mean, you give them those gifts, there's 14 points there. So 4 points, it really is not going to help its cause. I think the big turning point in the game, and I'm still trying to figure out what happened, was the non-challenge with Wes Welker. That was the big topic where I didn't even know the Broncos scored a touchdown 2 plays later. Didn't even know they did because I'm still arguing with my buddy about why don't you look at that catch? Why isn't there a timeout called? And even on that play, Peyton Manning, you have to give him kudos, Brandon. Bang, bang, play right down the field. Where was that timeout on defense? He'd at least get him settled because what happens there, Peyton got him up quick on the line. Snapped the ball, play, got him again, snapped the ball, play, and maybe less than a minute they had a touchdown. Not only where was the timeout on the challenge play to look at it, but where was the timeout to get the guys some fresh press? Again, you should have worked on it, but maybe it's a learning process, and, I mean, just like last year when the Broncos reamed us in the regular season, I think we'll see them in the playoffs. Because of all the AFC teams this weekend, nobody's scary. And we have yet to see a couple goes record late on Monday night. We have yet seen the Texans and Chargers play tonight. But pretty much the Patriots are beatable. They almost got beat in Buffalo. They look horrible. The Steelers, oh, my God. Brandon, don't get me started, man. I mean, the Steelers didn't even get an offensive score until 2 minutes to go in the game. The Bengals obviously lost a great shootout to the Chicago Bears, and then the Browns just look horrible, and we get them. So, again, you know, we play the Browns next. We will get the previews, but, again, we play the Browns next weekend. The Bengals and Steelers play each other, so there's going to be quick separation. Two teams are going to be 1-1, two teams are going to be 0-2. It's a divisional race. It's just, you know, calm down, everybody. I just want to at least get all that out there and just say, you know, hey, we played with the Broncos. I was excited, man. You know, we went down there 7-0, up 14-7, and then we could have been up 17. We were up 17-14 and a half. I mean, we had the lead 3 times. It wasn't like we trailed from the get-go and they stomped us and he threw 7 touchdowns in the first half, and we're like, oh, my God. I'm okay with this loss. I just don't like the fact that we had so many mental mistakes. And what is, and speaking of mental breakdowns, what is this with this guy running in at our own Jacoby Jones? What's this about, man? Because that's a huge loss for us.
Yeah, I mean, the Jacoby Jones could be out 4 to 6 weeks, and it's due to his own player. This is the inexperience really showing on this team because this guy, he didn't know where Jacoby Jones was. You need to be able to keep your eye on the ball and know where your other players are because he went full force into Jacoby Jones. I mean, a Raven beat up a Raven on this play. That was like the telltale sign of I maybe not what this season's going to be like, but what we're going to have to deal with this season with all of these new guys, because there's going to be a lot of mistakes. There's going to be a lot of people who are just not used to the way the NFL is played. They're going to be full of adrenaline and full of excitement, and they're going to want to do a good job, and they're just going to get ahead of themselves. They got to take it slow. They got to listen to the guys that have been here before, and they got to be professional about this, because that was just a dumb play. That's just the only way you can put it. It was a dumb, inexperienced play.
Very inexperienced. I mean, speaking of it, the guy's name is Brendan Trawick. I think he's a rookie who made the team. Because, like I said, I never even heard of the guy before. So I think he's a rookie who is starting on. He's down on the depth chart on defense, but he's a special teamer. And you're right. You got to be aware of your own player. Even if it was an opposing player and it happened to a Bronco, you would have felt bad for the Bronco, too. But you just got to be aware of your surroundings and who's around you. And you're running at that speed. You could take somebody out like that. And, man, it's just, again, with the injuries. You know, if Ray Lewis was still on the team, he'd be preaching that no weapon right now, because here's another one. I mean, Pitta goes down, Jacoby's out, but as I said, look at last year. I mean, the adversity we went through. We lost Webb and Ray in one game. We didn't have Suggs in the first six games, and we were champs. It's next man up, guys. I mean, just it sucks because he's a secret weapon on special teams, return game. He's going to be a vital part in our offense, or he was up until the injury. So because Pitta was already gone and Bolden's gone, it's just hard to look at it positively, but we are, and that's what angle I'm going to take. Because you look at it, we got redemption coming at home next weekend, and I've seen some promise. How about some Marlon Brown, man? He stepped it up, and the rookie out of Georgia, man, I'm impressed with this kid, man. He's big, physical, and it just what a first career touchdown he caught. I'm impressed, man, all around.
Yeah, Marlon Brown, he looks really good. There's a lot of people that I'm very happy with their performance on Thursday. But before we get off the bad stuff real quick, I just want to bring up Dallas Clark and Brandon Stokely. Dallas Clark, I was not impressed with him week three of the preseason because it seemed like no matter how accurate Joe was, Dallas Clark kept dropping him. It was like, you know, having Lee Evans all over again with Dallas Clark here. Brandon Stokely, he could catch the ball, but at the same time, when, Joe was throwing a long ball or something to him, Brandon Stokely got winded. I think he really showed his age. Here we are talking about all these rookies. Now we also have a guy who may not be as fast as he once was. I'm a little worried. I'm definitely worried about Dallas Clark, just because not just that one catch that everybody's talking about, but that whole game, he dropped everything. I'm worried about Brandon Stokely being able to go with Joe down the field and for Joe to be able to trust him because this guy just looks slow.
You know what? I have to agree with you on that. Both him and Brandon Stokely look old and slow. But speaking of drops, basically can't drop five balls in a game. A couple of them are wide open right to him down the middle of the field, would have converted a couple first downs, and that can't happen. We need somebody to step up in the tight end game. It's not getting it done. I mean, I don't know. Obviously, the Ravens are good enough to know who's on the free agent market, but I don't know if there's any good tight ends out there. It's just unfortunate and tough. I mean, maybe Dallas Clark can throw in some of those gloves for him and make him help him catch. I don't know what to do. I don't even want to say to that. I'm really perplexed. I mean, you can even hear my voice. I don't know because I was excited about these additions. I'm like, okay, Brandon Stokely's going to be a slot guy. He's a veteran. He knows Peyton's system, blah, blah. He'll bring that to the table. And just, I mean, a 36, 37-year-old receiver, it's not the answer. I mean, I appreciate what the Ravens are doing. They're trying to get the pieces in there, veteran pieces or veteran leadership or something on the offensive front lines. But unless I see improvement, they're going to be down on the list. I mean, Marlon Brown's going to step up. Torrey Smith is awesome. He's looking great. It's just the tight ends, that's just like a security blanket. And with the great quarterbacks, if you look, I mean, Tom Brady had his two-tool tight end system, and you've seen what happened when his weapons went away. Obviously, Julian Thomas was Peyton Manning's tight end. He had over 100 yards and two touchdowns. If you look at JerMichael Finley for Green Bay, I mean, if you can keep going doing down, I mean, Shannon Sharp, you know, John Elway, Shannon Sharp, I mean, you look at these great quarterbacks had a good tight end with them. And obviously, last year with Flacco and Pitta, it proved. And, again, you know, if the tight ends don't get straight, it's going to be a long season on the offensive line. And speaking of offensive line, I mean, you know, Michael Orr is okay, too. So, I mean, they did okay blocking for Joe. Ray Rice had some, you know, little to no data leg running. It was just a tough game all around. But I think it'll be open more up in passing game come at home against Cleveland. It just, and again, you know, putting 62 throws on Flacco, I mean, Flacco throwing it 62 times, that's just, I mean, he had a great game. I mean, I'm not going to discount that. I mean, besides the two picks, I mean, 362 yards, two touchdowns, that's nothing to sneeze at. It's pretty good output right there offensively. It's just he can't throw the ball 62 times. Again, the numbers can be misconstrued. I have to go back in the first half and see how many times they threw him versus run. But when you have an imbalance like that, that's not our type of football. Our style of football is getting the ball to number 27. The offense is going to flow through him, get Bernard Pierce his carries. He's going to provide that – that different look on the offense and just let it fly, and the receivers will get open itself, because obviously I think play action is going to be their go-to. If they can get Ray Rice involved out of the backfield, check down, screens, that's the key to the offense, is 27. So that's my assessment on what could be, maybe it could be a fixable problem. Everything that I've seen, it's not like, oh, let's just throw it away and start fresh next year. We're fixable. I mean, the secondary just needs a little work. You just need to adjust. You know, turn around, get your hips around. I've noticed the little things, the little things here and there. I mean, a lot of it was blown coverages. When the safety comes over and helps and he cheats, it was just leaving him by the middle of the field wide open, and Peyton Manning saw that second half, and there's where 7 touchdowns comes from. So, it was an MVP performance. We got upstage, and it just was a bizarre game. I mean, with the lightning delay it just sucked that the anticipation for the game was delayed like that. And I was just, I was chomping at the bit to get started, and I think it was just, whether it's your timing off. But, I mean, hey, you can't fault us, Brandon. We played one great half of football. It kind of lost in the second half. It's a 49-27 loss. We'll take it. We'll take it with honor, and we'll move on. And we got 2 straight home games coming up. And take it one game at a time. I think we'll be 2-1 back to week 3. But obviously, taking it, the Browns coming to town, home opener, I think we're going to be okay. How about you, man?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. Even though this was a loss and there were a lot of, bad signs in Denver, I think there were a lot of good signs as well. I mean, Joe Flacco did have a good game. Yeah, there were a lot of drop passes and everything, but he was accurate. I mean, he was getting the balls to his receivers pretty well. Yeah, he did have a few interceptions. That's expected. That's okay. But Joe did have a good game. I also want to bring up, at least on the offensive side, Vontae Leach. I want to say he had a great game. I mean, at the very beginning of the game, you saw him make a very nice hole for Ray Rice to get through. He had a really good block. I was very impressed with Vontae Leach. And Bryant McKinney, I thought, had a great game. Here's a guy who last year sat out until the postseason and had a lot of kind of screw-ups in training camp. He's come back, and he's really shown that he can play on this team, and that he's a valued asset to the offensive line. So I was very impressed with them. On the defensive side, of course, you got to go with the new leader on the defensive side. I was very happy with Terrell Suggs. I mean, he did have some trouble getting to Peyton Manning. And I don't know if you remember this or not, but in the first half, he got to Peyton Manning, and Manning actually looked at the ref and was calling for a flag. And Suggs was pretty much telling him, "Listen, shut up. You got beat. Don't cry like that." And Suggs made sure on that very next play that he got to Peyton Manning in time to get a sack recorded, because you could tell that he was ticked off that Manning was complaining about it already. So Suggs,
absolutely. I mean, you can't complain about that. And even on the other part of that, Doomerville, he got a sack on Peyton. So the offensive 7 front right now is legitimate. I'm loving what I'm seeing from the linebackers to the pass rushers to the linemen in general. This is the secondary is going to be the one that is going to be helped, because, again, when you take that risk, you get hung out to dry, so to speak. And a couple of times, Jimmy Smith just didn't turn around. Webb looked great on his debut coming back, so I have no qualms there. How about the guy? How about the hit? I think it was the second play of the game, man. James Edebo come up and just jarred the ball out. Man, I was fired up. I mean, that's the kind of play you want to see in the secondary, and hard hitting. They were tackling. Again, there was just a couple suspects, and I'll tell you what, Michael Huff, he was huffing and puffing because he looked a step or two behind. And I don't know about this kid so far. So let's just see how this free agent acquisition comes to play out. But the secondary is going to be the Achilles heel of defense. Can they hold up? Can they make big plays? Can they? What can they do? What can they stop? I mean, Corey Graham, it did look like the old Corey Graham of last year that came on late. He just looked lost out there, and I felt like he could have played a little bit better and stepped up. But again, the front 7, Terrell Suggs, everybody, for giving out game balls, I'm saying Marlon Brown gets one on offense, stepping up. What a first career touchdown over 100 yards, I'll give the game ball. I have to hold front defensive 7 because they held firm, they held in check. The running game they housed out on, they didn't really risk running game. It was just Peyton Manning sliced and diced the secondary. There's much more you can say about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Really just this game is just a sign of what things are going to be like for a little while, and I think that this team's only going to get better with time. I think there's a lot of talent on this team. It's one game, though. It's week one. It was on the road. It was a lot of pressure on the Ravens, and even though they're doing pretty well with handling pressure, they did well in the postseason last year. This is a brand new season. This is a brand new team with a lot of new players, so this is just week one. I don't think there's any reason to worry just yet, and we have a lot to look forward to. We have our own home opener this week on Sunday that you and I are both going to be in attendance for against the Cleveland Browns. So what are you really looking for? Let's start off with offense. What are you really looking for from this offensive line to do against Cleveland?
I'm looking for basically starting on the line. I'm looking for the offensive line to, keep Flacco upright, did not have him scrambling around there. Not ask for a perfect game every time, but just to keep the mistakes at minimum. Don't let the pass rushers come into play, because when that happens, you can't get the running game going because they're in the background disrupting that, and then Flacco can't get rhythm. Just at least alleviate some of that so we can allow some plays to be made. I like to see Ray Rice get key the offense off Ray Rice. I would think Ray Rice should be the focal point and then go from there. He's your all-pro, and I think you need to utilize that best when, the receivers are already thin as it is. And I like to see it spread it out more. Go 3-4 wide. Again, we're not that. I don't think we're that vanilla offense, but I don't think we need to be under center. I think we need to mix it up. No huddle. I know it worked some last year. The shotgun, no huddle. Maybe getting up there, line of Flacco calling the audibles like he did last postseason. I think it could work out to our advantage. I think if we adhere on offense, the same rules apply in the AC title game after the half when Harbaugh was like, Joe, we're giving you the keys, we're letting it fly, letting all hang out. If we approach every game like that, a playoff game, like we must win. I mean, it just sucks because I thought Joe Flacco would go off for the performance he did last postseason when he had 11 touchdowns, no picks. Obviously, he's 2-2 this year, but with taking risk, the one interception I fault him on because he forced it in there, and I don't know what he was reading. The second one, he just got picked. It was a good play. So I just look at it. If we can minimize mistakes and not fumble the ball, not turn the ball over, obviously, that proved last night when the Giants turned the ball over 5 times. That can't happen because you're going to lose a football game too many times. So you just can't. You just got to take care of better football and offense and time management and getting first downs converting. I know it's a lot on their plate. If I'm throwing it on there, we already covered a lot just on the offense. But it was sloppy. And you got to convert the first downs. You have to keep the defense fresh off the field. You got to keep their defense on the field. They always say the best defense is a good offense and vice versa. Well, how do you – a good game plan is good offense. If your offense is constantly turning out first downs and converting them into 3 and 7 points every time, you're going to win football game 80-90% of the time. I don't think you would disagree there. So that's what I want to look out for. I want to look out for what happened last home opener last year where, they were just – they had over 400 total yards of offense and were just – bam, 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 just all over the place. The weapons aren't there, but you're right. Joe Flacco was accurate, and if he's putting the ball there and they're making the plays, I think we're going to be okay.
Yeah, that's the big thing, is this offense, even though everyone made fun of Joe when he got that big payday after the Super Bowl and just said he was the offensive line, that's not true at all. You're only as good as the people that you are surrounded with. And, that was the big thing. We're seeing that right now in New England. Tom Brady has always been called one of the best in the world at being a quarterback. And you saw what happened up against Buffalo this year when you would take away all of his targets, his favorite targets. The guy's going to struggle. Joe's going to be the same way. He lost a lot of his favorite targets. With Bolden and Pittagon, Jacoby Jones now out of the mix, he's got brand new people to work with. So really, this has got to be an offensive line. That's got to be a team effort, and it can't just all lay on Joe. Joe is great, and Joe is going to do what Joe can do, but if he's getting the ball out there and these guys just aren't catching it and he's hitting them in the chest and the numbers and the people, they're just dropping them, then that's not the way it's got to go.
No, not at all. Number 5 putting it there, like Dallas Clark can't be dropping passes, Ed Dixon can't be dropping passes. I mean, if we got the dropsies, how are we going to score points on offense and become an elite football team again? I mean, we're trying to go for, you know, six straight playoff appearances here and defend the title. It's just not going to work. And you're right. You just got to take care of the football and catch it. How hard is it to catch it?
Absolutely. And now let's real quick talk about somebody who was kind of added to the team just recently, just today. Tandon Doss, already back after the town kind of bashed him throughout the preseason. Everyone was expecting him to get cut, and he did. Dude's back after a week. You just can't get rid of him. He's kind of like VD almost. But I got to say, this guy, I want to say this is more of a special teams pickup than it is an offensive pickup, because we lost Jacoby Jones for 6 weeks. He's not going to be able to do those, you know, 109-yard touchdowns anymore. I think they're bringing Doss back just to be on special teams and to be able to run the ball back or call a fair catch when needed.
Absolutely. I agree with you on that. Special teams play, it definitely is. And obviously, it's there to bolster receiving core. I was talking with Dave today, obviously, you know, my buddy Dave Sheeler. He, you know, me and him were discussing that. He was wondering why we brought him back. I mentioned that a part of, I think, his total outwork of body work, it flat out sucks. But I think if you look at the last preseason game, I know it's just a tiny glimpse of, you know, what could have been. He actually played decent. Yeah, I know Caleb Haney was throwing the ball to back up, but I mean, look, Tandon Doss made a great catch in traffic. I mean, it just sucks because Flacco handpicked him. He's just been on and off, hot and cold, and that consistency is not there. And, you know, maybe that, again, the Ravens wouldn't re-sign him unless they seen something, but the Ravens never, you know, really let their plan out. They always play close to the chest. You're right. It leaves us guessing. Is he going to be on offense full-time? Is he going to be a special teamer? You're right. I think the special team plays where it's going to start, and he's going to be on there maybe with three, four out, you know, with the four wide out packages. Anything else at this point. But like I was just telling Dave earlier, who you going to get? I mean, at this point, you know, Jacoby Jones is out. You know, the weapons are already depleted. Who are you going to get? I mean, I don't know who's out in the free agent pool. It's just not like fancy football where I can pull up a roster and go, oh, look, this guy's available. Pick him up. I mean, it's just, I don't know who's out there in the NFL. And we've thrown a couple names around. Expatriate last year, Brandon Louie's name came up. I don't know what his issues are or how his character is. Someone said, you know, why not ring Terrell Owens' phone or Randy Moss? I mean, those guys are, you know, sitting there, and you know, whether they're old or slow, I don't know. I mean, Randy Moss played against us last year in the Super Bowl. He caught a pass. Terrell Owens is out there. He's in shape. You never know. And at this point, why not take a chance? I mean, I'm just throwing it out there.
What do you think? Do you think Ocho Cinco should be a contender as well?
I forgot about him. Hey, why not? I mean, Ocho, if you're listening or if you're tweeting, hey, I mean, the door's open for purple and black. You want to give it a try?
I mean, I don't think he's busy. I think his full-time job is to tweet at this point.
Dude, he's on Twitter like every day.
Every minute of every day. The dude just never stops.
He's got to know the shows out there because I follow him. So
yeah.
I mean, sure, hopefully. But anyway, maybe we need to send out to Dojo and say, hey, you want to be a Raven? I think it'll be okay. I think we'll allow him to immerse it. Hey, it might even be a good addition, but you're right. I mean, it's just, I mean, maybe the Ravens have entertained those thoughts. I don't know. It's fun to talk about. It gives us good banter. But I would love to see any of those guys in a Raven uniform providing some services. And, again, you know, where are you going to go? It's the bottom of the barrel. And when you're defending champs, and I think where we're at this point, depending on what happens in the next two or three games, I think they need to take a chance on somebody. Because I see this offense making the playoffs right now? Is it too early? Yeah, but I say no, they won't make it because there's no playmakers. Last year they had Pitta, last year they had Bolden. And speaking of Anquan, how hard was, I don't know if you watched the game on Brandon on Sunday, but how hard was it to watch Anquan Bolden make play after play after play against the very team who he caught the first touchdown in the Super Bowl against? The dude's a beast, man. Even all the Ravens are tweeting, he had 12 catches, over 200 yards, and a touchdown. Colin Kaepernick threw for 450 yards, I think, and Anquan Boldin had half of them. It just goes to show you what we've been missing, man. And I just don't understand why they would trade Anquan away. Apart from letting Dilfer go after Super Bowl in 2000, this has to be another move that just makes me scratch my head. Like, what? Why? Like, I mean, yeah, you kept him for 2-3 years, and then he wins a Super Bowl with us. He proves that he's a great weapon, and it's like, okay, we'll trade you for virtually nothing. What? I don't think we gained anything from that trade. I mean,
yeah,
I have to go back and research.
That's the crazy thing. We got a 6-round draft pick for Anquan
Boldin. Who we pick? I'm going to go back on draft. Do you know who we pick? I'm going to look it up.
I'm not sure off the top of my head, but I just, like, that's the thing that gets me. I understand trading him.
I'll look it up, Brandon.
All right. I understand trading him just for the sheer fact that I believe his cap space was $6 million a year. So that's a lot of money to be held up for.
But they weren't going to sign Ed Reed anyway. And even he's inactive this week, so it wasn't going to happen.
Right, but I see Anquan Boldin being a very expensive player, especially after the Super Bowl. You know, he's going to want to get more money. So I understand them trading him for financial reasons, but watching him do so well in San Francisco was hard to see because we all knew what a great player he was. I mean, him and Joe had great chemistry together, and they were a great duo. It was very hard to watch him in San Francisco, but, I mean, he did better than, you know, full teams did on Sunday. He got more yards than I think the Steelers as a whole.
I think, yeah, I agree. I mean, you can only just look at it and shake your head and question what could have been. Speaking of that, I looked up the draft choices from this past year. You said it was a 6-round pick, right, they traded?
Right.
All right, they got two guys that I'm going to look at the 53-man roster. I don't think these guys are even on the team. They drafted Capron Lewis-Moore, defensive end out of Notre Dame in the 6th round, and they also drafted Ryan Jensen, the center out of Colorado State Pueblo, and that's round 6 right there. So let's cross-check that against the roster and see if these guys are even available, because that's just, again, I mean, not to say it devalues it, but you almost, you know, this is what I love to do. Break it down to a science and really see, did it really benefit us to let him go? I mean, maybe it was a financial issue, but again, Ray was retiring. They weren't going to sign Ed Reed. You have to figure, I mean, Kerry Williams was leaving. LRB left. I mean, look at all the players that left. Kruger left. So they weren't going to pay these guys the money. So what was the real deal? Was it really money, or was it they were trying to get value and they just got nothing in return? But let's cross-check that. But it is, Brandon. It's interesting to see the ripple effect around that already.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, if he got traded for virtually nothing with two guys that aren't even on the team anymore, that's a huge loss. And I mean, if it's just trying to unload, you know, a cash cow, that's one thing. But I mean, man, what a big loss. So while you're looking that up, let me just talk a little bit about this Browns game. I want to say, you know, usually give out the score that you're thinking of. We're starting a new thing this year where I'm going to say who's going to be the player of the game, my prediction. I'm going to have to give that, even though I think Joe and the offense are going to do great, I want to say I'm going to give it to a new guy, and I'm going to give it to Doomerville. I think he is going to have a really good game because I think, from what I saw in the preseason, he likes to play at his home stadium, and I think that Ravens Nation really took a hold of him and took care of him in the first couple games at home. And I think Elvis Doomerville is going to do really well at home in Baltimore. I predict a big game for him because I think he's got a lot to prove being the new guy here with such a big reputation. So I think Doomerville, he's going to be the guy to look for in this big game. He's going to make a big play that'll change the whole dynamic of the game this coming Sunday.
I'll even take it one better, maybe saying a sack strip fumble maybe combo.
Oh, I think that'd be nice. I'd be happy to see that.
I'd like to hear the crowd yell "Doom," me and you be in the stands for that. That'd be. I mean, dude, I can't wait. I mean, just imagine, you know, when they introduced Joe Flacco, the offense, Super Bowl, MVP, we need to get after a divisional opponent. I think the crowd's going to be raucous, and I really can't wait to get after tailgating the whole 9 yards. And we'll get to that in a minute. But speaking of that, I want to just, you know, throw it out there. Which player do you think they kept? Because they did keep one of them. He's on the active roster.
Did they keep the center?
Yes, they did.
Did they?
Obviously. Yep, they keep the center. It's Ryan Jensen, they kept the center. So he is on the active 53-man roster per Ravens.com. So, he's not playing, but, again, you know, he's on the active roster. So it kind of panned out, you know, just being sarcastic there. But, I can't wait for the Browns to come into town. I mean, as soon as we lost and I knew they were our opponent, I said, I feel sorry for them coming into town. Now, after they played against the Dolphins, I really feel sorry for them coming to town. I mean, Brandon Williams with 3 picks. Jordan Cameron, he's going to be a force. I mean, Trent Richardson was held in check. Trent Richardson and Jordan Cameron are going to be the playmakers to watch out for. Trent Richardson only gained 47 yards on 13 carries against the Dolphins' defense, which was shocking. So it would just be interesting to see how they game plan that. And Jordan Cameron, this tight end they have, the dude's going to be a monster. So I think he's going to be a force to be reckoned with. And I'm just telling you, these two weapons, if they give us headaches all day in the passing game, whether Trent comes out of backfield, it's just going to be a long day defensively. So I really hope that they can come out of that. So, it's a divisional game. Both teams are desperate because obviously our whole division's 0-1, so but only two teams can win this weekend. So it's just, at this point, it's who wants it more. And right now, the two front runners are us in Cincinnati. If you look at the games as a whole, and the teams as a whole, I mean, Cincinnati played, you know, 3.5 quarters of great football. We played a half of great football. Just recapping everything, I'm just going to go right down to AFC North. We played a half of football and kind of lost in the second half, so we're kind of halfway there. Browns looked bad. The Steelers just looked overall bad. I mean, they lost their Pro Bowl center penalty. Ben Roethlisberger, every replay I saw, he was on his backside, which was hilarious. Heard Steelers fans booing, never saw the yellow towels waving, which was great. It just was great to see them to have 2 points the whole game on a stupid safety that was just boneheaded nonsense. They could have been shut out. They just looked bad. And A.J. Green's going to be forced to reckon with. I mean, he had 160 receiving and 2 touchdowns. The guy's a beast. So we got our hands full, but again, saving grace is we didn't lose any ground. We're all start fresh at 0-1. Just like it never happened. You know, it's just like starting at 0-0. So, it's going to be interesting, and like I said, the AFC North plays each other this weekend, Brandon, so I think it's going to be great. We play on Sunday at 1 at home. Bengals and Steelers wrap it up the week up on Monday Night Football, so we don't get a chance to see how our division looks Tuesday morning until Monday night. So, they're going to make us wait for it. But we started at 1 o'clock on Sundays. I think it's going to be, our division is going to be shaken up. It's going to shape up real early. And if us and Cincinnati can come out of gate and put Cleveland and Steelers in the cellar, then we do. It's going to be that much more sweeter. I think we have what it takes to do some damage and get back on the track. 2 straight home games at home. Again, you know, we take care of our cookies, and this home cookie is usually where it's at. I really can't wait, man. I mean, we'll be there. Hopefully we'll be able to do a podcast next week because we might have to delay it for all horse, right?
That's true. You got to have a voice. You got to have a voice in order to do it.
We can't do our show. we're part of the Ravens 12th man, so if not, we'll have to record later in the week to give ourselves some rest.
So
I'm not taking the day off. I'm going to be hoarse by halftime. I don't know about you.
Oh, of course I am. So I want to know, you and I, we tailgated a little bit last year, but we didn't do it. What you told me is like your normal thing with a big party and everything. This is going to be my first time really tailgating with a group. Just tell me what to expect for a tailgate in Lot H.
Well, Lot H, that's all you got to say. That's the party central. I mean, pretty much we're just going to have fun. Pretty much what we do is, you know, we load up the vehicle. I'll even throw that out on the shows. I don't care. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, the call. We do what we want. We can talk anytime. But it's just because what we do, it's what we do. But pretty much we load the trucks up. We're still trying to figure that out. I talked to him today. He's still trying to figure out Sunday, so I'll let you know later in the week. But, yeah, we fill up the truck, load up the cooler. We all head down, get to the lot by 8 o'clock because they open 5 hours early for a 1 o'clock game. And we pretty much start cooking at like 9:30, 10. We cook our grub, and we're walking the stadium by noon. It's like clockwork, man, but it's a lot of fun. I know a lot of people. I even met people that actually are from Maryland, in I think Baltimore County. They tailgate Lot H. I met them up in Canton. I got their info, so we're going to try to see pop over to their station on Sunday. So I'm going to, you know, reminisce about some Canton trip, and so that's unique. So a lot of H's out there. I mean, it's, and I'm going to show you around to some central places. I mean, we kind of did a little bit of that when we went to the Raiders game last year, but man, you're in for a treat. Plus, with the home opener, nothing beats home opener on a September Sunday in Baltimore. I mean, everybody just, you feel the grills going, you're going to see the traffic, the fans are going to be screaming, hooping, hollering, the music's going to be playing. Hopefully it's going to be good weather for us on Sunday, and man, we're going to get after it, man. It's going to be a good full day of Ravens football, enjoying it. Hopefully what it is a win. We'll be back on track at 1-1. And just, you're in for a treat, man. I mean, Ravens tailgate, you ask anybody, ask any of your friends and family, it's bar none the best experience.
Well, that's good, man. I hope you introduce me to some good people. What I want to do is I want to talk to some tailgaters out there, maybe in Lot H, talk to them, see what they're cooking, and then hopefully record something with them and bring it back so we can play it on the call.
Absolutely.
So I think that's going to be a lot of fun, kind of bringing a live element to the show, hopefully next week. So I'm very excited about that. So
we didn't put out a score prediction. We always got, because we just talk about so much stuff in Ravens Nation, we could always miss something, man. We could do a two-hour podcast and miss something. I mean, it's just how it is. I'm going to say 30-14 Ravens.
30-14. Exactly. So, exactly. Hey, one thing we forgot to mention, too, is Harbaugh got himself a new deal last Thursday. We got to talk about that real quick. Harbaugh, you know, getting the head coach, getting an extension to his contract. I got to say, I'm very happy that Harbaugh is going to be around for, I think, 4 more years as head coach. He's done a great job so far. I love the fact that I love how dramatic he is, how he brings in props and motivates the players through all of these different stories that he tells. And I love the fact that, you know, team is very big for him. It's not one person singling out any one person. I love the fact that you know, having faith in something is so important to him. So I'm very happy that Harbaugh is going to be the Baltimore Ravens coach for just a few more years, about 4 more years. So congrats to him.
That was breaking news, like, right prior to kickoff. I mean, it was one of those minor notes that we did miss. You're right. And just speaking of John Harbaugh, I'll take it one step further. It's just great to see him locked up. He's a great ball coach, lovely guy, great motivator. How about his voiceover being used on the NFL women's apparel line? And it was the whole the Heart of Lions speech. So I don't know if you got a chance to look at that, Brandon. If you haven't, try to Google it or pull it up somewhere. It's pretty cool. They use his underlying speeches as the backdrop for that commercial promoting the NFL women's line. So I think it's kind of unique. I mean, it kind of sounds weird just me saying that John Harbaugh's speeches use the sell women's apparel, but it actually, the NFL did a good job with that commercial. So I think if any fans haven't checked it out, please do. It's unless you really listen to it, I've heard it once and didn't catch it because obviously I was busy and commercials I usually brush off. But I actually was sitting there playing on my computer, watching a Sunday night football game with my dad, and I actually heard it. I'm like, wait a second, that's John Harbaugh. And I was like, oh my god. So I actually went online and played it again to hear the full version, and it's pretty legit, man.
Yeah, you know, the ladies love him. Ladies love Harbaugh, so of course he's
ladies love Ravens. they love anything purple and black, and I think we can agree with that.
Oh, absolutely. So this time around, did we miss anything?
Not a chance.
Not a chance, man. That's right. Not a chance. We pretty much got you guys covered completely. If you want to continue to talk Baltimore Ravens football with Josh or I, we're both on Twitter, so you can tweet to us about what your predictions for the game. Let us know who you think the star of the game is going to be. Let us know what you think the score is going to be. And let us know if you're going to be in Lot H this Sunday so we can come talk to you and say hi. So follow me on Twitter at Brando Cash and tweet to me there. And Josh, he's on Twitter as well. Where can people follow you?
They can follow me at ItalianGQ52.
That's right. Now, if you guys are still on Facebook, go to Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. Make sure you like us over there. That's where we're always going to put out new news about The Call Podcast. Whenever a new one comes out, we'll let you know right there on Facebook. We have a lot of fun doing this show, but we are only as good as you guys help us out to be. So the only way that the show is going to get better is if we increase our audience. So let people know about the call. What you got to do is you got to go on social media and go onto Facebook, onto Twitter, on Tumblr, on Pinterest, on Vine, on Instagram, anywhere where you are social on the web. Let people know that you listen to the call and that they should too if they're Ravens fans, because we love talking Ravens football and there's nothing else we'd rather do, you know, during the week to get us through. You know, Sundays, because that's when the get us through to that next Sunday so we can see the Ravens again, is just talk about the Ravens. So let people know about that. Don't know how you're listening to this show. There's many different ways, but if you go onto iTunes, you search The Call Podcast, you'll find us there. You'll see our logo, kind of looks like an old bay can, but don't say that out loud because then they're going to sue us. But anyway, make sure you click subscribe. You can listen to the show completely for free, download the show completely for free. Not much you can do in this life anymore where it's completely free. This is free. And to just say thank you, make sure you write an iTunes review for us as well. Kind of helps us gain a little bit of notoriety there in the iTunes world. If you have an iOS device like an iPad, iPhone, iPod Touch, download the podcast app. You can search for The Call on there as well. And the show will get downloaded straight to your device wirelessly. You don't have to hook it up to the computer anymore, which is pretty cool. If you're on an Android device, if you're on a Kindle or you're on a Galaxy or anything like that, anything that runs the Android software, you go into your Google Play Store, your Kindle Fire Store, and you search Stitcher Radio. Stitcher Radio is a free app. We are on there as well. It's streaming radio on demand. Listen to it whenever you want, whether you're in the car or at the gym or cutting the grass or doing something else. Maybe you are tailgating on Sunday and you want to listen to The Call before the game. You can do that with Stitcher. Just plug your phone in, download that, and then it'll be able to play. You can listen to it whenever you want. So thank you so much for listening to this show. Josh, we've got 1 week down. It didn't turn out the way that we really wanted to, but we have the home opener this Sunday. So Josh, send us out like you always do.
I'll send us out in style, Brandon. Thanks everybody for listening. Week one was a little messy, but hey, we get back on track at the bank. 1 o'clock Sunday, the brownies are coming, so hey, if you want to cook some brownies, I do. I'm hungry for some brownies. How about you, Brandon?
Oh, I love brownies.
We're going to roast some brownies because I think they're in trouble. 1-1 is the goal. I think we get back on track in the AFC North. Let's take it. Let's go. 1, 2, 3, let's go. Baltimore Ravens, fly high.
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.